Hello. Welcome to another episode of Power Trip with Stephen Michael. I am Stephen Michael. Hopefully you know that by now. So what I'd like to talk about tonight is an argument that I hear presented by white people about, although, as with everything, to all you exceptionals out there that like to point out that there's exceptions to everything, well, there's always exceptions. But this is an argument made by a lot of white people, and it pretty much always, with exceptions, at the wrong times. It's about the we're all one race, and race is a social construct argument. And the worst part about that argument is that it's not necessarily untrue. I mean, we are all one race. Race is a social construct. It is true. But money is a social construct, and we still treat money as a thing. I mean, money is still it still changes lives. It still impacts what we do and where we go and who and all kinds of things. Whether or not we can get medicine, money is very important. But it's still at the end a social construct. I mean, we all agree that money has value, and so therefore we act as though it has value. And I pay my bills with it, and my gas company keeps my gas on because me and the gas company are in agreement that money has value, even though it's just because somebody somewhere said that it did, and we all agree to that. And race is kind of the same thing. Race in America and around the world is a social construct, but it still impacts lives. It still affects the way we live. It still determines how we're treated. And what I'm seeing is a lot of white people using race as a social construct argument at all the wrong times to talk about, basically dismiss any complaint or issue that's brought to light by anyone who isn't white in the U.S. to try to point out that we're all one race and can't we all just get along? And that's a great argument, but you're making it to the wrong people. I mean, there are people in this country that hate black people, hate minorities, hate Mexicans, hate whatever. They just hate. I mean, if you're going to take the race is just a social construct argument to anyone, it really should be those people, not the people that they hate, because that would just be kind of stupid. And that's my problem. I'm seeing race as a social construct used in just always the most inappropriate of times. And again, it's hard to argue against because it's not necessarily untrue. It's just that it doesn't change the fact that people are living lives differently than others because of the social construct. You can say it doesn't mean that the problems went away, so why even bother pointing out that it's a social construct? It has no value to our discussion. We're talking about fixing things and telling people that that they're people, that race is a social construct. So that's just a waste of your time, their time, everybody's time. So I'm going to ask that you stop doing that. If you want to talk to some KKK members about race being a social construct, all the power to you. That they're the people who need to hear it. I don't know if they'll listen, but they're the ones that you should be telling that to, not the people that the KKK hate. All right, so that was the first thing I wanted to talk about, and I hope that I covered all the bases and that I didn't leave much room for argument there. Next thing I want to talk about is going to sound like I'm bragging, and that's not what I'm trying to do, because I'm going to tell you a story. It happened. It's totally true. Happened to me in the late 90s, I think. Could have been like maybe 2003, 2004, but somewhere in the late 90s, early aughts, somewhere in that ballpark. Can't remember exactly what year it was. But again, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. There is a point to this. So I worked in a building, retail bookstore, and next to this bookstore was a call center. I think they did collections or something like that. And a lot of the collections employees would come over to the bookstore to read some magazines, maybe buy some books. But a lot of times I would end up in some pretty good conversations with them because I was, killing time and we would just talk. And And one time, a woman, a black woman, randomly, I don't even remember what we were talking about before, but I'm like 99% sure that it had absolutely nothing to do with race. I think we were just talking. And she got really solemn, I guess would be the good, real serious. She got real serious and wanted to tell me that when she was a kid, her mother explained to her that it was okay to be friends with white people, but not to trust them. And the reason she was telling me this was that she wanted to compliment me. She said that she could tell that I was the kind of white person that she could trust. And at the time, I thought it was a good compliment. And again, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn. Over the years, that compliment has come to mean more and more to me, especially as I'm exposed to more information, and that information it's put into a greater perspective, a longer perspective, to hold up against the light of all the years that have gone by. So it just with deeper meaning every year. But the reason I bring that up, and I know there's some white people out there that are probably like, oh my God, that was so racist that she said that her mother said that she shouldn't, that she could be friends with white people but not trust them. And first, no, it's not. It's not racist. It's not. Because white people did a lot of damage to black lives in this, and they still do. But back in her mother's day, it was even worse. White people, they'll smile to your face, but make them angry. And suddenly you're not a person to them anymore. You're the N-word, white people can turn on a dime and just be racist as hell, white people. All right. So no, it's not racist. It's just a fair warning. And so that's the reason I bring up this. I've told that story in various internet forums, just to find out kind of how many people, black people, have had similar stories told to them. And apparently, it is not uncommon. This is a conversation that black parents have with their children that white parents really don't have to have. This is where the idea of white privilege comes from. A lot of white people get obsessed with the whole money thing. Oh, I grew up poor. I worked hard for everything that I had, blah, blah, blah. That's not what white privilege is really all about. I mean, yeah, money enters into it. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's not just money. And the fact that you keep obsessing about money means you're missing the point. Black people have a different life because they're black. White people have a different life just because we made it this way. White people built the system and we continue to maintain it. So when black people are warning their children, white people can be dangerous. White police officers can be dangerous. This is a conversation that they're having that you would never even dream of. It would never even cross your mind that black people have to behave in different ways when they're around police officers. They have, and I've seen cases of, and you can look it up on the internet yourself, of white people aiming guns at not only random citizens, but police officers, and yet still, somehow, no one opens fire on this person. I found at least a dozen different cases just through some casual internet searching myself. That's just one example. The idea is that even when you are unarmed, even when you're being friendly, even when you are cooperating with the police officer, they are still dangerous to black people. I know a lot of white people do not want to hear that the government that they help build and maintain is causing the lives of black people to be abruptly ended or otherwise severely injured. But this is the way it is. And the problem isn't just that the cops do it. That's not just the problem, because that in and of itself is wicked. But then the punishment just isn't there. They don't go to jail. They don't even get fired. They sit on the force for another 2 years while the government, while their supervisors, quote unquote, investigate for 2 years. Like when it's caught on video, you really need 2 years of investigation. But that's what we're talking about. So they have to have a conversation with their children about, yes, white people. I mean, because they're surrounded by white people in a lot of communities. So when you're the black, in a lot of communities, there's just tons of white people everywhere. Not so many black people. Now, there's in some cases, it's the other way around. But again, our country is like 75% white, give or take. I'll lower it. I'll say 65% white. When you disregard white Latinos, it drops down to like 60, 65. So it's majority white. Black people are the minority. And so, therefore, there's pretty much white people everywhere they go, with the exception of a few peppered neighborhoods throughout the country. So the idea is that their parents have to have a conversation with them about how people in authority will treat them differently, about how when they were children, and this is, and I've had black people say this, that their very first day of school or their very first day, you know, at what other place, you know, whatever. They're just immediately called the N-word by other white children. Immediately. Like, these white children, they're children. And they already know to call black people the N-word. That is crazy to me. Absolutely insane. Racism is, in many regards, taught from parent to child. But, I mean, just to even take the time out to teach your children these things is just crazy. One girl years ago told me that when she changed schools, and, you know, she's a black girl, and she went into a classroom for the very first time, and she just saw that she was the only black girl. All the other children were white. And she said she cried. It made her cry. I mean, she was in grade school, and it upset her to see that there were no other children like her. She was going to be the only black girl in the class. These are things that typically white people don't have to concern themselves with. They don't have to worry about their children being treated differently. That is a privilege that we have. It's hard to put a value on that. You know, I think white people want to see metrics and percentages and pie charts. And while those things are often available, you can't put a metric on how your children are treated. You know, they're your children. You want to make sure that they're treated with respect by everyone, regardless of whether they're white or black or what, or a cop or a teacher. You know, you want to know that, because every child will misbehave at one point or another, you want to make sure that your child, if they misbehave, are treated fairly by those in authority, and that they're not accused of every little thing just because they were there. And that's what happens. There is a bias in our country, the social construct bias, where black people are just assumed to be guilty of just whatever. And that's what starts often in grade school. This prison, this what do they call that? The pipeline to prison. I'm screwing up the phrase. But either way, it's an issue where they're given harsher punishments by teachers. Studies have shown they're given harsher punishments by juries and judges and police officers. Studies have shown those are the things you can get pie charts for. So the idea is, race may be a social construct, but that you're just dismissing the value in how we're treated differently. Black children being treated differently from the get-go. I mean, there are parents teaching their having to deal with their children being called the N-word at 3, 4, 5 years old. You, as a white person with white children and a white family, it's just not something that really crosses your mind. I'm sure that it just barely comes up. With black families, it's more of a sporadic, not a daily reminder probably, although that probably is the case in some people's lives, but just every once in a while, I'm sure there's just a little reminder that there are people out there that hate them and their children just because of who they are and that the fact that they're not white. And it can be rough to live in a society that doesn't value you as an adult. God. You just want what's best for your children, you know, and that's what, you know, a lot of that desegregation was about in the 60s. It wasn't about, you know, that they wanted their children to be bused, you know, 40 minutes every day in the morning. They wanted them to have equal opportunities, a good education. Because the white schools got more money. And white schools, that's why they called it separate but not equal. So there is reason for it if you pay attention. But a lot of you aren't paying attention. So yes, race is a social construct. No, it does not matter in our discussion. Black people live different lives, and they have to have the talk, and not the sex talk, the race talk. Now, I see a lot of white people teach their children, and a lot of white people confess that they were also taught to always treat everyone equally, and that everyone to always judge them by their behavior and not their appearance. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that way of thinking. Except I do often see it brought up at all the wrong times. I don't know, it just seems weird to bring it up sometimes. Judge a person by what's in them, not how they look. I mean, that's a foundation that I think we can all agree on. But the problem is that not everyone adheres to that policy. There's a lot of white people out there who just despise black people, Latinos, Jewish people. If we eliminated all minorities, they'd probably hate left-handed people. There's always going to be a hatred in some people in our society. But that doesn't mean that we just shrug it off and say, well, somebody's always going to hate. No, because it affects their lives. You know, if we made a law against, you know, making left-handed implements for left-handed people, that would affect their lives. So, you know, if it affects their lives, we can't just shrug it off. We have to be like, well, that's a stupid law. We should undo that. And there's a lot of laws in the U.S. that are implemented in a way that don't look racist at the onset, but end up being implemented in a racist way. For example, marijuana laws. I mean, I think I've already brought this up. Black people and white people smoke marijuana. We both do at marginally the same rate. It's within a margin of error that we smoke it at the same rate marijuana. But black people are still arrested 4 times as often as white people for having it. Well, how is that? Because I've also shown studies that white people are more often to have marijuana on them when they do random searches. Not just marijuana, but other contraband as well. The math doesn't add up. When you look at the numbers that white people are more likely to have the contraband, when you look at the numbers that we smoke it at marginally the same rate, well, then how do you come to the conclusion that there's 4 times as many black people in prison for having the marijuana than white people and not see a racist implementation of what's supposed to be a blind justice system that isn't supposed to care what people look like? But the fact of the matter is that there is a racist system in place. And again, a lot of it on paper wasn't meant to be that way. But we've created a system where everyone is protected. I think that's probably what I'm trying to bring to the forefront here. The protection that all of these people have for their racist implementations. They're so protected, it's ridiculous. Between police unions, and then of course the DA and in some cases like down south when you get into the public defenders are jokes. They are not there to help people who are poor. And over the years, black people have been disproportionately poor for decades because of the racist systems that we have in place, beginning with slavery and then later on the Jim Crow laws. When you have a generational poverty thing, there's no snapping your fingers to get out of that. Generational poverty is very difficult to escape, even for white people. Add to it systemic racism and imagine how much harder it is to get away from generational poverty. You'd have to imagine it's probably a lot harder. Now, does that mean it's impossible? No. Stop thinking that that just because there's an exception here or there, that it disproves the rule, because it doesn't. So it's much, much harder to get out of generational poverty. Not only because just of the fact that it's just hard by itself, but then also the systemic racist systems that are set up. In the South, a lot of black people are put in this situation where they're arrested for a crime, maybe or maybe not guilty of that crime. So now they have to decide, am I going to fight this with a public defender, or do I just agree to their terms, maybe, you know, pay a fine, maybe serve a few months? You know, a lot of times black people have to choose between freedom and fighting a justice system that's not going to help them. The public defenders in the South are an absolute joke. A lot of them are just lawyers. Like, they're not the kind of lawyer that you would want to represent you in a court of law for criminal proceedings. They're like divorce attorneys and stuff. They're not the same thing. When you have a divorce attorney, you don't want a divorce attorney to represent you for some sort of criminal proceeding, because they specialize in two different things. But that's the kind of thing that they do in some places in the South, because they don't have a lot of money for public defenders. The public defenders often get paid very little to do that job. So a lot of them try to avoid it as best they can, especially the good ones, of course. So the system is not there to support them. So now they could pay bail, because, you know, there's going to be a while between being arrested and actually, you know, being convicted. But they could pay bail, but guess what? They don't have the money for that. So they have to decide, okay, do I pay the bail, which money I don't have? Do I borrow the money at an insane interest rate for a crime I didn't commit? Or do I just go ahead and confess to something I didn't do, and then I'll pay a fine and I'll just get on with my life? Because they have a job. They don't want to lose their job. If they miss work because they're in jail, well, what are they going to do? See, these are the kind of situations that have happened for decades, beginning way, way back shortly after slavery ended. They started implementing all kinds of crazy small-time laws that they would arrest black people for. And then the black people would have to go to prison for stupid stuff like loitering and whatnot. And then eventually they started prosecuting, and then eventually they made marijuana illegal. Marijuana was made illegal due to racism. I know a lot of people maybe don't understand how that could be, maybe draw that line to make that connection. But the idea was, it was all a propaganda campaign to make marijuana illegal. Because the first time they tried to make marijuana illegal in this country, it didn't work. Nobody cared. But then somebody got the bright idea that if they could link marijuana to minorities, Mexicans and black people, and scare all the white people that if you allow marijuana in your neighborhood, you're going to be inviting black people, jazz singers and Mexicans, because that's where marijuana comes from, they said. And then they were able to convince a lot of racist-ass white people to make marijuana illegal because they wanted to keep black people and Mexicans out of their neighborhoods. Now, mind you, I'm not the one saying that black people and Mexicans smoked a ton of marijuana. What I'm saying is, this is what they were saying in order to make marijuana illegal. And it worked. They convinced a ton of white people to make that happen. So then they made marijuana illegal basically due to racism. Then they began implementing laws to, you know, here and there, state to state. In the 70s, it went crazy with the whole war on drugs that Richard Nixon started. You can find articles on the web about how Richard Nixon knew that by attacking marijuana, he would be hurting minorities and the liberal left, the hippies, as it were, and that this was the only way that he could do it without looking like he was attacking them on purpose. So they went after marijuana in a racist way. They prosecuted in a racist way. They gave harsher sentences to black people in a racist way. The cops are more likely to search black people, even though the reward, as I pointed out in a previous power trip, was there's more reward for searching white people, but they would search black people more anyway. So basically, there is layer upon layer upon layer for decades of this racism that black people have faced that has affected their lives. You can't just dismiss it and say that race is a social construct, because now you're saying that none of that stuff matters. That's crazy. It makes no sense. Race shouldn't matter. It shouldn't. We, you know, there are certain aspects between black people and white people that I think is awesome.
You know, there's certain stereotypes about white people are hilarious to me. And that's another distinctive difference between white people and black people. The stereotypes about white people, as true as some of them may or may not be, they're usually funny. They have absolutely no detrimental impact on our lives. Our lives move on, and it just doesn't impact us. Like, for example, there's one stereotype that white people, when they shower, they don't use a rag of any kind. They just take the bar of soap and just rub it all over their body, and then they put it on the, and that's it. Now, I wasn't aware of that stereotype. No one in my family did that, but apparently that's a stereotype about white people, and it's funny. It doesn't impact my job search. When I go looking for a job, white people don't ask me. No job interviewers ever ask me whether or not I use a rag or washcloth when I shower. It just doesn't happen. If anybody wants to know, I bought one of those loofah things because I like them. All right, so moving on. Another stereotype about white people. We don't properly season our chicken and meat and food. And man, I can't think of a more true stereotype than that. But I'm sure, so, you know, I consider myself an exception because I love cayenne pepper. I love garlic salt and garlic powder. And, you know, and I just love that stuff. I put cayenne pepper on so much stuff, it's getting a little ridiculous. Does that disprove the stereotype? No, not really. Like I said, most stereotypes about white people are pretty funny. I mean, but the other ones are that white people harm the lives of black people. Those stereotypes are not funny, but again, are not detrimental to our lives. It just doesn't impact us. Other people, black people, Latinos, their stereotypes that they have out there, they are detrimental to them, and that white people keep using those stereotypes against them, especially in the job market. Recently, I saw someone talking about their boss on a Facebook post, that their boss, who had hired some Mexicans, which some white people will say, well, clearly she's not racist. She hired Mexicans. But I guess she didn't like their performance and just didn't waste any time in going into a racist tirade about how she knew when she hired the Mexicans that they were going to be lazy and just be terrible at their jobs. And these are her words, not mine. That's what I mean. Being racist is not an on switch. It's not 24/7. You know, serial killers had friends who were alive. They didn't kill everyone all the time. Just like racists don't always.
We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey, everybody out there in radio land. This is Pistol Raw from Smushmap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
Racists don't always have to be racist. There are going to be blips where they will do things because they think it will be. I'm sure that when someone hires Mexicans, they probably think they're going to save some money or whatever. And I'm going to try to explain this in such an elementary way as I can. White people judge each other individually. When we see a white person do a terrible job at something, we look at them and we say to them, "You did a terrible job." But when a Mexican or Latino, you know, I'm saying Mexican all the time because that's what the conversation was about on that Facebook post. But Latinos and black people, they get the honor of representing their entire race, that's what they get to put up with. You know, one of the comments made to me when I was discussing the race talk between parent and child was that some of those parents actually did tell their children that they have to work harder than any white person, because if they don't, then it will make all black people look bad. That's what they have. They have to worry not just about themselves, but about all black people. No one should have to have that as a burden on their life. Like, I don't represent all white people. It's insane to even suggest that I would. I don't like people in general because that's just the kind of person I am. I'm kind of a cynic. But black people, for some reason, white people have put this on them, you know? And there are a lot of conservative white people out there who will go on the warpath to try to find any black person that agrees with their perspectives on anything, label them the good black people, and then try to use them as examples of what good black people are supposed to be, and then expect all black people to adhere to that. See, it's weird to me that there's you guys expect this monolithic point of view, there should be this one way. That black people represent all black, any black person represents every black person in the U.S. And I know a lot of you are probably saying things like, well, I don't say anything like that. And yeah, there's probably some truth to the fact that you don't say anything like that. But you don't always have to say a sentence in a literal sense to say it. You know, you can just adhere to a certain stereotype, even on a subconscious level. If you believe subconsciously that maybe black people or, you know, any of the stereotypes, I don't want to broadcast stereotypes about black people because they're all a bunch of garbage. But I don't want to give racist ideas. So let's go with the popular one that I hear a lot, the fried chicken and watermelon thing. I've never understood that stereotype, and I'm not the first person to point this out. I've seen some black comedians point this out. Why is that a stereotype about black people? I actually know the backstory of the watermelon one. I don't know about the fried chicken one, though. But the idea is that who doesn't like fried chicken? Like, everybody I love fried chicken. Who doesn't love? I'm sure there's some people out there like, oh, I hate fried chicken. But like 99% of Americans love fried chicken. So why is it black people are the ones that get laughed at for eating it? It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't get the sense. We don't make sense as a people. We just don't. We latch on to the strangest things that black people like fried chicken more than anybody else's. I don't know how that could possibly be true, because I thought that everybody likes fried chicken. I mean, sure, it's bad for you, and we'll bake it and do other stuff to it, and apparently we won't season it, but white people will do all kinds of things with chicken. But so it's a little weird to me that stereotype is still perpetuated about black people for no real reason, and I don't get why it's funny, because it everybody likes these foods. I love watermelon, and I know a guy, a white guy, he's allergic to watermelon. He can't eat it, but God, it's so good. He does it anyway, and like, he has to be really careful about it, because, you know, it makes his face and lips and stuff all swell up, so he has to like measure how much he's going to eat. Like, he knows that he's going to be in some discomfort every time he does it, but he does it anyway because it's good. So why is it white people don't have the stereotype about loving fried chicken and watermelon? It doesn't make sense. But that's where we are in our society. We've created all these things that we just can't shake, things that don't make sense because we're used to it, because it, you know, we got comfortable in these stereotypes. Yeah, and maybe the watermelon and fried chicken one isn't as detrimental as some of the other stereotypes out there, but the idea was that we made black people a joke. We made it through minstrel shows, blackface, the way they're depicted in for decades in movies and TV, and that negativity, that negative portrayal of black people hurt their reputations, hurt them on the job market, and then made it more difficult for them to support their families. So, again, race being a social construct is great on paper, and it is biologically true. The difference in any kind of genome or chromosomes between black people and white people is minutia. It's small, tiny. The percentage is infinitesimal. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the social impacts of race. We're talking about how one person will have a harder time finding a job because of stupid, ridiculous stereotypes, whereas white people stereotypes, you know, the fact that maybe we have a reputation for not being able to dance so well, really isn't going to change anything. You know, the mockery that the black people have faced for, you know, not only from white Americans but also Europeans after they discovered the continent of Africa and started traveling there and bringing back black people to put in their zoos, and that is not an exaggeration. When they started doing that, I mean, they made black people a mockery from the start. White people, people of European lineage, have made a mockery of people who aren't white. We just, that's what we do. We've done it to the Chinese, the Japanese. We do it even now. We still just cannot get over, Indians. When I say Indians, I mean from India, not Native Americans. They just have to mock, make fun of, And, you know, and there will be some people who say, well, Asian American, when Asians come over here, they're more successful than anybody. And there is some truth to that, but, you know, you have to weigh that against a lot of the other numbers that are in there. And that is the fact that, that Asian Americans make up such a small percentage. Any success they find is going to skew the results. I mean, it's roughly 6% of the U.S. population. If the margin of error is plus or minus 3%, it's going to skew the results dramatically. Yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is we put on black people and Latinos that they have to represent their in all black people and Latinos, and that's and we continue to perpetuate that. Even people who will say I'm not racist, but which is basically the preface to a lot of racism, they will still come out and say, you know, something racist, and they think to themselves they're not racist. Racism is not an on-off switch. It's not something it's not like being pregnant, because you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant, right? There's no middle ground there. The same cannot be said for racism. There's no hard, racism that everyone has to be called racist. And that's something that's really been driving me up the wall lately, is this standard that if you're not wearing, you know, the robes and burning a cross on someone's front lawn, that means you're not racist because you're not doing those things. That is not the bar that you should be holding yourself to. You should be holding yourself up more to like a humanity level. And are you not only treating everyone the same, which I know a lot of you will claim, but are you recognizing that not everyone is treated the same? And that's where I think a lot of you are failing. I think a lot of you are missing that step. That you're getting step one, treat everybody the same. Okay, I'm good there. I'm treating everybody the same. But step two, okay, not everybody's treated the same. What do I do about that? You're not doing anything. You're not even saying anything. The least you can do, the absolute bare minimum, is say something. You can make this go away just through word of mouth, and hopefully eventually we'll get some laws changed. You maybe get some police that shouldn't be police fired from the police, because that's what I'm saying. They're way too protected. Do I believe every cop on the force is racist? Not in the KKK Klan robe burning cross way. No, I don't. But do I believe that they're all in this together and that they're all willing to put up with the KKK Klan robe cross burning member of the police force because it's hard to be a cop and so therefore it's all part of the police union, you have to, blue protects blue? Yeah, I believe they're all in that. You know, the good cops are not arresting the bad cops. The bad cops are still cops. It's so rare when to see them being punished, and usually it's when they've been caught on tape. Just last week in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a lawsuit was, well, they settled out of court, because that's what government likes to do. They settled out of court. Back in 2014, the man was assaulted by a police officer, accused of crimes by the police officer, resisting arrest, and all the other nonsense he can come up associated with that. The man, I guess, admitted that he had been drinking in public, I guess, as part of the settlement. But all the other charges were dropped against him, the resisting arrest and all that good stuff. Well, you ask me, well, Stephen Michael, why were the charges dropped? Well, that was because somebody that was there caught the footage, caught it all on video. And it was the video that exonerated him of all those other crimes. Now, if not for the video, if not for cell phones, that man would have been, charged with resisting, maybe even ruined his entire life, because the dude was in college. This could have really impacted his whole life from just one incident that a cop made up just a nonsense story about what had taken place. But thankfully, from cell phone footage, he was exonerated. He was tased by the cop like four or five times. I can't remember the exact number, but he was tased repeatedly by the cop. And again, that was caught on video. So he sued the city, and the city settled out of court, and he got $96,000 because that cop went above and beyond anything they should have done. Now, is the cop in jail? No. How is it not against the law to lie on a police report. That should be against the law. That should not be a tolerated aspect of judicial culture. If it's discovered that a police officer, because it's against the law to file a fake, false police report. If I, as a citizen, went to the police and filed a false police report, that is a crime. I would be fined for that. Maybe even go to jail. I don't know. I don't know how severe they can get with that. But it's a crime. All right? Filing a false police report, crime. A police officer falsifying police report, not so much. It's not so much a crime. It's very iffy. Like, if they find out the cop was, like, falsifying in order to cover for, like, the mafia or the, you know, or something like that, yeah, they'd probably go to jail for that one. But if they falsify the police report just to protect themselves, I guess that's just A-okay. Maybe they'll get a little write-up, it'll go in their police record, but then they'll get a promotion a year later, be awarded cop of the year. See, this is the weird standard that I'm not able to get through to other white people. It's not so much that they're doing the things, which is bad, and I want it to stop. Don't want to seem like I'm diminishing that aspect. The idea is we don't punish them. There's nothing that they get. There's no punishment for that. And to this day, the worst thing that happens to them is they get their name in the news. That's it. I think we could work a little harder to fix the punishment aspect of a police officer falsifying a police report to make himself look better so that he can get an arrest. You know, it's ridiculous that we allow this to go forward, but man, I just can't get other white people to see this, because all they see is, well, being a cop is a hard job, and it is. You know, just because one thing is true doesn't mean that the other stuff isn't true. I get that being a cop is hard. Lots of jobs are hard, but that doesn't mean we let them get away with crimes. You know, like a logger, for example. The logger is one of the most dangerous jobs in the United States. There are more deaths for loggers per 100,000 employees than there are for cops by a large margin. It's huge. Logging is, and so is crab fishermen, if you want to get into it. But basically, those are very dangerous professions. It's very hard, too. Being a logger is not easy. But it's very dangerous. It's dangerous. It's not easy. They commit a crime, they go to jail. We don't do for them what we do for cops. And cops' jobs, I don't know how you want to measure, like, what makes one job harder than another job, what makes it more dangerous. I mean, you can look at the statistics and see that being a logger is more dangerous. But how do you gauge that against, you know, being a cop? Because I guess the trees technically aren't out.
We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key
power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey, everybody out there in radio land. This is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company, LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
The trees are not out to get you. So I guess there's that. So as a cop, you have to worry that when you pull somebody over that they may have malicious intent. But the point is that that shouldn't give a cop a free pass to commit a crime and get away with it. So yes, I'm going to try to wrap this up here. Race biologically is a social construct. There is some confusion. I want to talk about the word race for just a heartbeat. We don't use it the same way we used to. 100 years ago, like in the beginning of the 20th century, 1900, you know, and so, race was way different back then. Eugenics was taken very seriously. And I know that eugenics, a lot of people, you probably think you understand what we mean when we say eugenics, but man, they really believed that shit back then. They felt that if you were from France, that you were French and that you were a race. That was the way they used that word back then. 100 years ago, French was a race. English was a race. We don't view it that way now. We look at it as white people that speak French and white people who speak English. That's how we view that now. And white people who spell words with extra U's for no reason, like the word color. So it's just, we use the word. So over time, the word race has evolved. And so now when we speak of race, it's more color oriented. You know, whether you're a various shade of brown, like someone who lives in the Middle East or India, or maybe you're black, or maybe you're Hispanic of some sort of origin. It's very, race has gotten, it's become muddied waters in a way. Because of the way we use the word race compared to the way it was 100 years ago. And even now, I'm seeing people that want me to now start referring to race as ethnicity. I don't know. The idea, though, race is a social construct. It was, but it doesn't change the reality of the situation. So, as much as I would like for race to be just a social construct, it's not just a social construct. It is also a social construct. Because in addition to being a social construct, it is a factor in our lives, primarily the lives of people who aren't white, that it affects them in ways that can't really be measured all the time. So I hope I've wrapped up on the argument of social construct. I'm hoping that I don't hear it as much anymore, although I know not everyone that's out there will listen to this. I will try to keep preaching it. Please stop bringing up social construct. But I know a lot of you will anyway. And a lot of you, by the way, I attack conservatives a lot on this, and I know that a lot of the social construct people aren't even conservatives. A lot of them are liberals bringing that up. I'm aware of that. But yeah, that's kind of neither here or there, near here or there. It's just please stop bringing it up because it doesn't matter in this conversation. In the conversation of race, social construct is like an interesting fact that we can push to the side so we can get back to the meat and potatoes of the conversation. So, again, this is Stephen Michael. This is Power Trip, and this is the last thing I'm going to say.